Hi, I'm Erno of ErnoHunting.com. I'm a mentor, author, and speaker on attracting clients. And today I'm talking to Marty, and we're going to talk about creativity and about attracting clients and doing your business as a small business and working for other businesses. Hi, Marty, how are you?
Hi, Erno. Nice to see you today. Happy to be here.
So can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Okay, I'm actually from Chicago, Illinois, and I originally was trained and worked in the design and communications field before I converted to what I call technology marketing. And I really converted to tech marketing about 20 years ago. And because of this background, I'm really dedicated to both the visual construct of things as well as the words and communications.
And then you call that technical marketing.
So to clarify, tech marketing, it's actually just working to promote tech companies that are on the grow.
Right. So there are so growing businesses.
Yes.
And you have your own business?
Well, it's actually threefold right now. I am a VP of marketing of a tech company, a mobile software company called Open Kernel Labs. It's a startup. It's about 5 years old. We're in about 1.5 billion smartphones today, and it's basically security for smartphones and tablets. And then secondly, I have always done consulting on the side, and that's originally how I started working for this startup. So that is under constant change, under the realm of kickstart market demand. And then I also run, I launched the country's very first marketing hackathon this past year, actually a few months ago. And so I'm continuing in that vein to run marketing hack sessions across the country to help other tech marketers help companies grow. Because I think there's a very big need for companies that are on the grow. There's a lot of support for large multi-billion-dollar corporations for marketers, but a lot of the marketers that help these smaller companies, a lot of them are managers or directors and don't have a great amount of experience in this. So I'd really like to change that by offering this kind of sharing very early in their careers.
And what happens in a marketing hackathon?
A marketing hackathon is a place where it's similar to a technical hackathon, which most people are familiar with, developer hackathons. You have a few speakers, so over a weekend, it's always over a weekend, maybe a Friday, Saturday, or Saturday, Sunday. We don't stay up all night the way that the developers do, but we do have a subject matter expert describe how to do something and provide the hacks for to be able to do things that they might not necessarily do. And a marketing hack, by definition, is a tip or a trick that helps people get their jobs accomplished smoother, quicker, and smarter, and gives them the tips for that. So we do the presentations, and then we break out in groups of about five, tables of five, and then we collaborate with each other to go through some of the marketing problems and challenges that relate to the topic at hand.
Interesting. And if people want to find more about that, where can they find that?
It's at www.marketing-hackathon.com. And I have that's the one that was held in April, and there'll be one this fall, and I'm hoping to roll it out in New York later next year. And I'm doing an abbreviated one in Boston this fall.
Cool. And you still do consulting for your own from your own business?
I do. Eventually, the companies I work for get acquired, or there's an event that happens that I no longer have a relationship with them, except maybe on a consulting basis. So I always have consulting going on the side. After this company has an event, I am committed to working full time on consulting, and I'm going to resist the temptation to be hired by the client.
Because is it was it the second time that you've been hired by a client while you have your own business?
Yes. Actually, it's the second time, maybe even the third time.
Right. And how do you, because I can understand that you already work a lot of hours for these tech businesses. How do you combine, you know, those businesses, you know, your own business and working for another business?
It's in waves. When you have clients, as I do, you can choose when to take on a client. So I can manage that. I have one client that I've had for 7 years, and that I could run, not with my eyes closed, but I could definitely run that. And I run that with a set of partners. I never do it completely alone.
Right.
So I have that option. And it actually is pretty manageable. The hard thing is when you start working for a brand new startup, the hours can be very long. The startup that I work for is now 5 years old, and I've got a lot of systems and infrastructure under control, and I've got a lead generation engine that's very productive now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that wasn't the case 4 years ago.
But are you then hired on an hourly basis, or is it just are you talking about a price for a certain period?
For the consulting engagements, are you talking about?
No, about the open kernel.
Oh, I would just be hired full time as a full time employee. I'm a VP of marketing.
Yeah, well. You make it just sound so normal. You have, you know, you hire like a vice president of marketing, but then you have your own business and do some consulting there as well.
Right.
Like there's, right. You know, like there's nothing else.
Right. Well, I didn't, you know, like I said, it comes in waves, so I can manage it. It gets pretty crazy at times, and other times it's really manageable.
Right. And and you work for them, you go to their company, or you work, are they in Chicago as well?
They're in Chicago. It's at the right across from the Willis Tower, formerly the Sears Tower. So it's right in the city.
Right. That's cool.
Actually, it's in the Illinois Technology Association headquarters. It's where a lot of startups and other companies that are growing are leasing space.
Right. Until they grow so big, they have to move somewhere else.
Right. Right. A lot of our engineers are in Australia, so we don't need the space. We have the rest of the operations in Chicago, headquartered out of Chicago, and then the rest of the technology out of Sydney, Australia.
Right. I'm going to focus a little bit more about constant change.
Yes.
If you look at that, who is your ideal client there?
Ideal client are B2B, business-to-business tech companies that just have a very impatient need to grow. Sometimes they come and say, you know, we've gotten through our first round of friends and family sales development, but we really need to attract more leads.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I find that what their problems really are stem from brand and positioning. And that is an important part of the infrastructure for any lead generation program. So what they come to me for isn't necessarily always the first project I work on for them.
And is it, to me, it sounds like they're like small size kind of business.
They would be anywhere between 10 to 100 employees.
Right.
On average, some of them are more, some of them are less. I sometimes help out companies that are just 2 or 3 people.
Right.
Yeah, even solopreneurs.
What do you like the best if you look at these sizes of companies?
What do I like the best? I like companies that have a product. I don't think companies should hire marketers to create lead generation programs unless they have their product. I understand that products are always undergoing transformation along the way, but what you don't want to do is you have a two-person firm, you have a prototype, and you don't want to develop your market or start talking to analysts or the press when that product is not ready. So if you're still in the consulting business yourself, that's not the right time. So the ideal client would have a product, would have probably somewhere between 10 to 50 employees. I find that a really intriguing spot, because they tend to be more open and flexible, and they haven't done this before.
Right. So for them, it's really changing their business when you come along.
Right, because they haven't done the outreach marketing activities. They've done tactics to get their message known, but it's not done in a formal way. Because
yeah.
they all wear the marketing hat. The owners all wear the chief marketing officer hat, and it's shared by usually more than one because they like marketing. They like the notion of expressing how important and lovely their product is in the marketplace.
Yeah, but don't they because you say it's more technical companies and they talk about product, but don't they explain it more from a product kind of view and a technical kind of view?
They do, and I've worked with many a CTO that they really love the technical piece, and if they're out talking about the technical piece to technical audiences, they're just very happy. And I actually have to work with them to say, you know, we can't get down in the weeds in front of this editor because they're not going to understand what you're talking about. We need phrases that they're going to be able to understand and then share with their readers. They can get excited about something that they understand if you get too technical. So that's always a challenge, but it doesn't mean that they're not excited about talking about it. It requires a lot of coaching and differing points of view.
Right.
I'm about the messaging and getting it to be broadly distributed, and they're about the passion for their product because they invented it.
Yeah. And when you started your business, it was 2000. Was it 2000 or something? I forgot. It was 2000, right?
Yes, officially, constant change. I did small consulting engagements prior to that, but I formalized it around 2000, yes.
And because now you focus on tech companies, and did you do that from the beginning, or was it at one point that you decided, okay, this feels a lot better now?
Before 2000, and actually after 2000, I took on some clients that were much larger than that, like large global consulting firms. I've done a lot of brand development work for those kinds of companies. So I did work for very large companies and delivered that with a team of creative people, writers and artists and marketing people. And so those were very big jobs. But my real passion has always been working with tech companies of a certain size. And that's what I'm focusing on.
And since you have that focus, do you see that you know that you get more business, that it changes, that people come more easily to you?
Well, right now, I'm in the process. I just launched my blog, theconstantchange.com, which focuses on kickstarting market demand for tech companies. I'm still at the beginning stages of really recruitment of those companies and doing my own lead generation campaign. And so where it starts for me is building community. That's the very first thing I did when I started work for Open Kernel Labs 5 years ago, was to build the community of engineers. Now I have to build a community of business owners and people who own the marketing function that need to accomplish certain things. So I'm still really doing that right now. And I've taken on just, you know, a handful over the years of consulting engagements. So now I'm going to be accelerating that.
And do you see that the marketing hackathon is that's the same audience?
Marketing hackathon will be, some of it will be the same, because at my first marketing hackathon, there were business owners, and then there were marketers that were hired by those different business owners to run the marketing department. There's a little bit of everything. Depending on how small the company, they may not feel that they have a need for a professional marketing consultant, but some do see the need. So yes, that's an excellent platform. But to answer your question even more directly is, when you're building a community, you know, you have maybe 90% of your community, however large that community is, will never buy from you.
Right.
But they spread the word, and they learn from you, And it's a collaborative exchange model. And I enjoy exchanging that information and helping. And, you know, the hope and the goal is always to work with that 10% or 5% that will have a need for your services.
Yeah, no, I see it the same way. So your blog is going to be probably the main point in the hackathons to attract your clients.
The hackathon is one channel of building community. And then the blog is the mechanism to, you know, further the conversation. And as I mentioned, my blog is really new. I don't have a huge community yet, either with the hackathon or with the blog just yet. You know, I have thousands at Open Kernel Labs. It started from zero and it's now thousands, and I'm not even 100 yet in my my mailing list and things like that.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
What tools do you use the most if you're looking at the social media kind of tools?
Twitter is my number one go-to tool. I use that in a great way. I initially used it for Open Kernel Labs, and now I'm using it for my company.
Right.
So one of the things that I love about Twitter is the ability to monitor a marketplace and to hear and see what is going on. And so how I use it is to obtain, how I've used it pretty extensively is to obtain PR contacts and opportunities for exposure, developing relationships with really key analysts and media. So that's been one really great way. And then it's also to be front and center from the business development standpoint, so that partners that you may not even realize are good partners, you'll come to know over time. So Twitter's been very valuable. And I would say in the past year, I've worked pretty extensively to build a tech marketing persona, but couldn't do as much until I launched my blog.
Right.
Yeah, so until my blog's a year old or, you know, a couple years old, it's going to take some time to build that up and to really utilize Twitter in an even better way.
And if you're looking at business to business, isn't LinkedIn also a great tool for that?
Yes, those are my top two. That's my second one.
Right.
LinkedIn, every tech marketer, any marketer on the planet can use LinkedIn to really find out who their customers are. And if you're on it long enough and you very strategically connect with very important people, their networks, you'll have access to the who's who of just about any industry.
Right.
And that's something that I use pretty extensively. Now, I can't get their email addresses and I can't email them or anything like that, but I can identify who they are and work with sales teams and say, okay, here's the top whatever people in these companies that work in the federal space or work in the mobile space. These are people that we should be working with. And then actually, there's no magic pill for that. You have to manually put those lists together and then eventually connect those dots. So LinkedIn is extremely valuable for networking in that way.
And your website, that's a combination of your website and a blog, right?
It's actually a website blog. Yeah, it's a WordPress blog. So, you know, I call it a blog, but when you consider the infrastructure, it's a website. You know, years ago, we would have called that a website, yes.
Yeah, well, I still do. Actually, I call it a hub right now, which is a combination of a website and a blog.
Yes.
Because it brings, you know, you bring everybody from all the social networking sites, you bring them to your hub, and then and from then on, you can continue to inform them and you know, try to subscribe them to your newsletter. Do you have a newsletter?
I am going to be having a newsletter. My plan is for a newsletter, and I actually do have a sign up on my blog for a newsletter. But as I said, my community is not real large right now, and I've been, as you mentioned, kind of busy. So doing the newsletter, I want to really focus on once I don't have a full-time job as a VP of marketing.
Right. How do you keep a wealthy balance between your business as a constant change and then open kernel and all the rest of your life?
Okay, so you were asking earlier about doing three things. I have control over when I do the marketing hackathons and how busy and complicated I make that. The job as a VP of marketing, once you've been in a role for 5 years, you come to know the cycles and the business opportunities. And so I know for a fact that the 2 months before February is always really crazy because that's when Mobile World Congress is in Barcelona.
Right.
So that's really crazy. I would never do anything. I don't spend as much time on doing other things during that time. So I actually manage the three buckets in that way. And my goal is to not have three buckets. My goal is to have two buckets. So that's how I manage the professional part. And then the personal part is I made a commitment to myself probably a dozen years ago when I was doing work for tech companies that I was going to preserve as much as possible weekend times for friends and family. And the other thing I made a commitment to, I grew up with a father that was in the airlines and I traveled a lot, and I made a commitment that I would always take an interesting vacation every year.
Right.
And so those things you preserve, and then I also manage a number of 3-day weekends sprinkled throughout the year to regenerate the creativity, as I call it.
Yeah, that's cool. What is your goal in business or in life? What do you want to accomplish?
I would say my goal in life is to learn as much as possible about the world through travel and talking to people so that I can become a better person. I have a goal of betterment just about every day. And I think by understanding people from different cultures from all around the world, you know, whether that's through online mechanisms or actually visiting in person is probably a little better for me. I think that can be accomplished. I'd like to, on a professional front, create enough wealth, I guess, to contribute to the causes that I think are really important. I do some volunteer work, I do contribute, but my dream is to contribute a whole lot more because I think there's a whole lot of need out there. We all have probably 5 to 10 causes that we care about and maybe top two. And wouldn't it just be so great to contribute more to that?
Yeah.
And so that would be, you know, and then the goal in business is like, I really want to help companies of a certain size to grow. Companies that may have not been able to figure out how to do it before because they didn't have the resources, but either by helping their internal people to be smarter about marketing or to help them in ways that I can through consulting engagements.
Mm-hmm.
And then on a personal level, just to always be able to spend as much time over time with friends and family. I'm hoping that with going from three buckets down to two buckets of how I spend my time, that will even be more manageable because that's why we work. You know,
yeah.
There's nothing like, a hug from a 5-year-old or a 7-year-old. There's just nothing like that. And you get that by spending time with family.
I agree. So how can people find you if they want to learn more about you, if they want to follow your hackathons or follow your creativity ideas?
Okay. On Twitter, I go by my name, first and last, Marti Constant, MartiKonstant.
Right.
My married name is Constant. I was fortunate in that way, so it never changes. It's Constant with a K. So it's constantchange.com. is my web/blog, and I'm the only Marty Constant in the world. So if you type in Marty Constant, you'll be able to find out every article I've authored and what I'm doing with the marketing hackathon and things like that. So pretty much a Google search will get your top 25 searches will get you to everything that I'm about.
Well, that's cool because you're the only Marty Constant. That's really helpful, right? To do this.
Yeah, and it's fortunate. There's a Martin Constant, but I'm the only Marty Constant.
Yeah, I think if I'm right, I'm also the only Erno Honing.
Yeah, it's and I noticed that too about your name. Our CTO at Open Kernel Labs, his name is Dr. Gernot Heiser, and he was the only Gernot Heiser. And boy, I could just do so much with branding for that. So when you have a unique name, you know, may as well capitalize on it, like as you can do.
Right. Marty, thank you very much. I hope to learn a lot from you via your blog, and I will subscribe to your newsletter when you have everything running, because I love to see how you're going to change the world with your new ideas when you have everything into two buckets. And I love to follow the idea about these marketing hackathons as well.
Okay, and thank you. One of the things that attracted me to you was your interest in building clients and getting clients as well. So I think we'll be on a similar wave over time, I'm certain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Have a great day. Bye now.